Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
On January 9th, 2007, Steve Jobs walked onto the stage to give the keynote opening speech for Macworld in San Francisco. Now, the announcement made was realized on June 29th. And it changed the world forever. Then 2 days later, this week's guest started with the NFL. The timing of his arrival coincided with changes in the NFL media world, and this announcement by Steve Jobs would ultimately play a big role. This week's guest is Ben Liebenberg, Director of Photography for the NFL.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Great Scott!
This time we step off the DeLorean. The date is January 9th, 2007. It is 8 a.m., and we're in San Francisco. Well, it's not quite the time of when Steve Jobs is going to come out because we had to get here a little bit early. There's been media hype all over the place about what's about to come, and we're just waiting for it. But let me get you back there. Steve Jobs casually strolls across the stage, and his opening remarks are this, quote, "This is a day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything." Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop it there because I'm kind of curious. Did you figure it out yet? January 9th, 2007, what did he announce to the world? Well, Steve Jobs officially announced the debut of the first ever iPhone on that day, something that quite literally changed the world. And one obvious way is the use of the smartphone. Well, what he kind of took a little jab at the other guys. Previously, were not truly smartphones, even though they called it that. But one obvious way is that this new phone, which would revolutionize and change the world, would be able to take photos. Another might be streaming, FaceTime or Zoom, Skype, anything like that. Or how about watching the NFL ticket, your favorite game, while sitting on the John? All of this made better by the invention of the iPhone and what it brought to the world. But let's focus on that photo part. That's where we bring in this week's guest, Ben Liebenberg. He's worked for the NFL, well, since July 1st of 2007 in varying roles, mostly revolving around photography. He is now the director of photography for the NFL. And to give you a little bit of a background on him, here's a quick bio from his LinkedIn page. Quote, "I am the director of photography and lead photographer for the National Football League. I oversee photo needs for the NFL, managing multiple photo team members. I develop, delegate, and spearhead short and long-term projects. Staying innovative with my work is a priority. My career allows me to travel nationwide, managing the on-site photo workflow for the large NFL events, including the Super Bowl, NFL Draft, Pro Football Hall of Fame Entrainment, NFL Scouting Combine, and many others. End quote. You interested in this topic yet? Are you a little bit jealous? Traveling around the world? And that's just his NFL stuff. We talk about some other cool things too, which you're going to have to look at his website, benliebenberg.com. And we're going to go ahead and dig more into his career in depth in a short while. But first, let me remind you that this podcast is part of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. And you can learn more about us over at sportshistorynetwork.com. And while you're over there, make sure you check out all of our other great podcasts we have covering sports history. But for now, let's go ahead and get right into this interview with Ben Liebenberg. Yeah, so it's hard to whittle down all these different hundreds of games, and we have 14-year NFL career and all these kinds of things, and director of photography for the NFL. So I thought it'd be easier. Let's play a little fun game. If you had to give an elevator pitch for what director of photography for the NFL means, what would you say? Go.
Director of photography is the person that oversees and maintains all photography needs, our historical archive, and manages the day-to-day operations of the photo team.
Okay, so then that would be where you're at now, but then why photography? Like, where did that drive passion come from for you personally?
It really started when I was a young kid and just traveling around. I did a lot of traveling during the summers with my grandparents, and my grandfather always had a camera. So I had a camera, you know, at like 8, 9, 10, you know, I'm taking pictures, you know, me and my cousins were always taking pictures. And that was just how how we remembered trips and vacations and places we went, you know, and that just really stuck with me.
And then, so you just, that was like the kind of the drive and the passion. Then I've seen in your bio, and we kind of talked about this in the introduction, that you worked your way into different varying levels, working with artists and international, and then making yourself in the NFL. Before we get into the NFL, if you could pick one place on earth that you were at, maybe for it was a concert or whatever it would be, and you could go back there, what would it be?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I have one that's football related, sort of. I was in Brazil with Russell Wilson, and I would absolutely go back to Brazil in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I personally have not been to Brazil, but I mean, I would think that it would be pretty nice to be there. Yeah. From some
amazing,
of the stories,
amazing
and
city, amazing views. I think my favorite thing was Christ the Redeemer, the statue on top of a mountain. And you're literally above the clouds.
So did you get a good photo of that, considering your career?
Yeah. Yeah, I do have some nice photos from that trip.
All right. So speaking of that trip, and you brought it into football, and it didn't have to be football related, but now let's transition into football. The reason why I brought you on the show, this is a show about the history of the game. And as a photographer, you're documenting all these things so we can live on. And 2007, so like you said, July 1st, 2007, I believe personally the digital world changed, because that January, a guy named Steve Jobs, some people have heard of this dude, he announced, we're going to have this brand new thing and it's going to be the iPhone. But then when it was released June 29th, 2 days later, you started for the NFL. I mean, how did that transition work into the NFL? And then arguably the digital world changing, what was the process the NFL took to handle something like that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I started, we were in the process of rebuilding and redeveloping our website. We didn't even, this is hard to believe, but at that time, the NFL did not run their own website. It was run by CBS, and CBS handled all the content. So the NFL had decided, hey, we need to do this ourselves. And we're starting to bring in all that content and do, you know, writers, photographers, editors, everything was brand new at that point. You know, so it really, you know, that was the start of digital for the NFL at the same time. You know, and you know, I think my first work phone was a BlackBerry. It took a little while before I got an iPhone. But, you know, it really changed how, you know, immediately we had to think about, okay, you know, how do we look at what do things look like on a phone? You know, a phone is a lot different than a website, you know, and that suddenly became, you know, a huge factor. And it's still a gigantic factor of everything we do and how, you know, we're developing for phones, we're developing for websites, we're developing for apps, you know, so it's definitely changed everything essentially for everyone, you know, on that day when, you know, the iPhone came out, you know, it opened up a whole nother world, a whole nother opportunity to engage with fans.
Yeah. I mean, I'm myself too, as you say that, I mean, I'm holding up my iPhone. I'm a little old school. I think this is like a 7 still, but yeah, one of the first things I do every day is I type in N on the Safari and boom, NFL.com pops up and I go there pretty much every day. So it's like you said, the phone has changed everything. It's in my pocket. And I brought this up on my show before. My dad always made the joke when he got his first iPhone. I don't know if this is dating him, but he said if Captain James T. Kirk had one of these things, he would have whooped all over the Kleenex. So, you know, he always brings that as a reference maybe to everybody. And again, I believe it. It's made big change. And even as a digital space that I'm in too, you have to be cognizant of, wait, will that photo look good on when it's optimized for the phone, or will it just be for the screen and all these kinds of things? And by no means am I as technologically as savvy as the big corporation that is the NFL, but that's interesting. You said that they didn't even have their own, or they didn't run their own website. I never would have even thought that. I will talk. Okay. So we're going to go into some of your career with the NFL, but one thing I got to talk to you about. So I saw a video that discussed the 2020 season. And it was a great video. I loved it. You know, you talking about some of the challenges of the 2020 season, some of the maybe the benefits from a photographer's point of view, we could say. But I have a bone to pick with you. It's one of those come on, man, wow moments. I don't have my shirt on right now because I'm just coming out of my day job, but I'm a Lions fan. How come the first picture you had to pick was Aaron Jones sitting there? And that was against the Lions that when they routed them like 40 something to 3 or whatever it was.
I'm sorry. I can't control what happens.
Right. I can't knock it though. Like you said, that go ahead and explain to me and maybe to the listener of the show visually why you chose that Aaron Jones photo in the stands and why it represented what 2020 was all about.
I think the Lambeau leap is synonymous with a player jumping into the arms of the fans, you know, and to see that photo that the photographer's name is Todd Rosenberg, that he captured with the empty stadium behind him, you know, and it was surreal. You know, it really hit home. Like, this is not a normal NFL season by any means, you know, and when you saw that, because, you know, being a Lions fan, you've probably seen your share of Lambeau.
Unfortunately,
leaps.
Yeah.
You know, it was different, and it looked different, and it felt different, you know, and it was bizarre, you know, and I think it really hit home that there's no fans, and the fans are such a huge part of the NFL, huge part, you know, and every Sunday, and it was different for me, you know, when you walk into a stadium every week and there's nobody there, there's, you know, it was so quiet, you know, it was very calm, and I don't want to say relaxing, but you just didn't have the same energy, you know, that you would have with fans. And, you know, I felt like you didn't see that energy in the players, you know, you didn't really have the team intros or anything like that. So not having the fans definitely affected the energy and the mood in stadiums and the players themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the belief that football is the primo sport for television. Like, you can't beat it, but at the same time, you also can't beat it in the stands. And when fans mm-hmm. are there, it's a totally different game. Yeah. That photo that you said took was, it looked like they were just in a scrimmage game with no fans, just the way that when he's sitting there and it kind of, you gave me a good transition into one of the questions I wanted to ask you. So I brought Ted Jackson mm-hmm. on from the Times-Picayune, and he described some of the photos. The reason why I brought him on was to talk about the Jackie Wallace story, but I was intrigued with a lot of the other photos that he had, not even revolving around football. And I asked him the question about kind of this. So here's how about a heart-wrenching moment. So he's in a heart-wrenching moment, or any photographers and growing up. And he said at the time he was young, he looked at these photos, say maybe a war photo. And he's like, it was a great photo. I could take that. I could do that. But then he didn't realize it till he got into photography that, or photojournalism, that that photographer had to live that moment with those people. And 2020 is probably a good example of that. It's like, you had to live that moment. So speaking of another moment, an unfortunate event, I know it was before your time with the NFL, but have you ever had that discussion of when 9/11 happened with maybe some of the photos, some of the photographers that might've been there at that time and what the feelings were like?
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit before I started at the NFL, but it was, and I've looked at those photos and, you know, those, especially with the New York Giants in that game that was played shortly after 9/11 was, you know, you had the players running out with the American flag, you know, and it just showed a sense of unity, you know, for the nation, for America. And, you know, that we're still here. We're not going anywhere. You know, you can knock us down, but we're going to get back up, you know. And it was a pretty cool moment, you know, I remember watching it on TV. I remember, you know, I've obviously looked at the photos from that game. And it was a pretty cool thing to see and talk with. You know, I don't know a lot of people that were there, but, you know, just people in New York in that time frame in general, you know, it was a pretty powerful moment.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I was a junior in high school when this happened. So at that time, you don't understand as much of like what's going on in the world. But I do remember when the games came back, for instance, and like you said, it was that unity, and it was, even though I think it was the Chiefs stadium, the Giants were in a away game, but all the Chiefs fans were still cheering for the Giants, if I recall correctly. But just again, they're, even if though they're competing teams, it's, we're all one nation and we're going to survive this. We're going to push past it. And then we're going to keep moving on. And you know, I use sports. A lot of people do for references all the time, as far as getting back up and sometimes falling. I mean, what's the one shot that you thought you had that you get back to the film room? You're like, oh crap, I guess I didn't get it as good as I could have had.
Well, I don't think I have like that moment. I think the one thing is with digital, you know, right away, you look at it, you know, you didn't get it. You can tell it's out of focus, soft, whatever, you know. I will give you some great examples of things I wish I would have got. One being the first Super Bowl I had ever covered was Giants and Patriots. And Randy Moss scored a touchdown to give the Patriots the lead. I had an amazing photo of it, you know, and I thought I got in my head and thought the game was over. I mean, it was going to take a miracle for the Giants to come back. And I decided to stay, kind of hang back a little bit down towards Bill Belichick and the bench area. I'm shooting the play, Eli scrambling, they yank his jersey and he just hucks the ball and I can't see it. And the place goes crazy. And that's the David Tyree catch. And I didn't even see it until I got back to my hotel room.
Oh man. You know? Yeah, you're right. That normally you say right place, right time, but that was the wrong place, wrong time. Yeah.
You know, and it happens in, you know, I sort of redeemed myself. I missed, you know, an iconic moment, but I did, you know, get down to the other end of the field and get the Plaxico Burress touchdown to win the game. You know, so still had that, but you know, it's things like that. Here's another, and then another one that always haunts me is the Santonio Holmes catch the next year. Same situation. I had Larry Fitzgerald's touchdown, nailed like 125 frames of it. Amazing photos. You know, he ran right in front of me, arms in the air. And then Santonio Holmes and the Steelers come down the field and Roethlisberger throws to Santonio Holmes and the game official runs right in front of me.
Oh.
So I have a picture of the game official and Santonio Holmes out of focus in the background.
Oh man. So you said something about you had 125 frames or shots of it. How many, what's an average amount of,
I don't know if you, what you would call it, snaps or photos that a person would take in a given game.
In a given game, in a normal game, I'm about 5,000 photos. In Super Bowl, I'm about 9,000 photos, just because there's so much other stuff going on, especially around the pregame and the postgame. Mm-hmm. You know, you have, you know, more national anthems, flyovers, just more warm-ups, player intros. There's a lot more things that happen.
You ever just, you mentioned flyover, national anthem, Super Bowl. You ever get the chill where you just like almost like you kind of come out of your body and you're like, wow, I'm literally on the field right now and I'm snapping a photo of the Super Bowl.
Just about every time I see that flyover, you know, or like, you know, a Super Bowl, if you hear like, you know, NFL films music come on or something like that, you know, like, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been to a lot of football games and I still get chills.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Yeah, like similar to, again, going, we keep it football themed, the players that say, I still get butterflies every game until I'm on the field and that kind of thing. And one question is, so you mentioned y'all was in the wrong place, the wrong time. What makes a good, like, what's the primary trait or characteristic of a very good, excellent NFL photographer?
Wow. I think it's really someone that is, can capture great action photography, can capture great moments, can capture emotion, and knows, the game of football. You know, I think you definitely have to know a bit about football, and that's going to help, help you, you know, cause there's a lot of players out on a field, you know, for any given play, you know, and you gotta have some sort of idea of what they're doing, where they're going, where the play is going to happen. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to be all over the place, you know, and you're going to miss a lot of things. So, you know, looking at, the way players are lined up at the line of scrimmage, you know, looking at, you know, what their formations are, things like that. Where are the receivers? Where's the running back? Is quarterback in shotgun? Is he under center? Things like that, you know, will kind of tip their hand a little bit to what they might be doing, you know, at least to give you a slight edge.
Right. Yeah. The anticipation. I mean, I would imagine that's, I mean, both, like you said, you have to know what you're doing, but still challenging, because if you were in their head that much and you were that good, then I guess you could be coaching as well too for the other team.
I wouldn't say I'm
coaching. You specifically, maybe, but like a person. That, I mean, so there has to be some game planning. There has to be some preparation. What's the process for like a team? I mean, what would be considered a team in a Super Bowl? How many photographers you'd have for, say, the NFL?
Yeah, so my team usually consists of 8 photographers, and you on a normal year, 5 editors, 5 runners, and probably about 6 or 7 editors in our LA office. and we're cranking out. I mean, 75,000 photos maybe are coming in on that day.
Wow. Yeah, that's
a lot.
That's a lot of data to go through. And I mean, when you're so because you have that much, I mean, over almost an overwhelmingly amount, what do you like? How do you prepare for something like that as a group? Because otherwise, like, if there's no synchronization, yeah. I'm sure they'd be like, hey, we're just randomness.
No, it's a lot of planning. I mean, we're planning right now. I mean, literally today, there's planning meetings going on. I mean, I'm 5 miles from SoFi Stadium. There's planning meetings going on there for the Super Bowl. You know, and that's not the first meeting.
Right.
You know, we're actively planning all the time. But from my standpoint, you know, I'm putting my team together, you know, months out. You know, we have a game plan. We have different assignments for each photographer. We have, you know, obviously different positions. We do a lot of technical stuff around hardwiring cameras, things like that. We use a lot of this year at the Super Bowl for the first time. We were able to use a lot of cellular transmission because there wasn't as many people as a normal game using their cell phones. So we did a lot of that, which we generally haven't been able to do. We run lots of fiber cable, lots of Ethernet cables, and plug in a lot of cameras. So, you know, there's a large pipe that goes out of the stadium and goes all the way back to our editors in LA. And, you know, you can have a photo from a camera, you know, on NFL.com in a minute or two.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing too. Like, not just the photos, but the videos of being a fantasy football guy. Of course, you see the highlights and everything, and all the back end stuff. We don't realize what goes on when you're just watching it or you're looking at the website. But it's just got to be crazy amount. And maybe you can't specifically answer this question this way. Answer it whatever best way you can, so you're not biased. But what's, like, maybe not the favorite stadium, but the stadium that gives you the best opportunity, or however you can answer that question.
I got a couple things. I really like SoFi. The new stadium here is really great. It because of the roof, it has a really soft light inside, so it's a really even light. It's really nice. I've been to almost every stadium. Some have their good parts, some aren't so good. I think my favorite is Green Bay, and I know you probably don't want to hear that.
For those of you that can't see this, not visual, I just threw my headset down.
Regardless of the team, Green Bay in late fall has gorgeous light. It makes for some really nice photos. You know, I love shooting outdoors. I love shooting, there's so many, like, different parts, like, of stadiums that make them nice. You know, like, Atlanta's a great stadium. It has that great 360 degree video board. So does SoFi now. Those things are cool. You know, they look cool. They're cool to see. You know, they're cool to work into your photos. I think I've been lucky enough to shoot in some other countries, and shooting in Mexico City at the Azteca Stadium, you know, that has a really cool look to it. You know, it has a really cool circle, like open circle around the whole top. That's a cool one. Or just being in, I've been to like Tottenham in the UK. It's a rugby stadium, but really cool, really old stadium, historic stadium, Wembley Stadium. You know, there's some things like that. It's just historical moments have happened there. You know, if you think about everything that's happened on the field at Wembley, or even here in LA at the LA Coliseum, you know, they played Super Bowl I there, you know, and I still, you know, up until this past season, you know, the Rams were playing there, and every game when I'd walk, you know, down the tunnel to the field, you just think, like, Vince Lombardi walked down this tunnel, you know, hundreds of Hall of Famers have walked down this tunnel, You know, it's pretty cool when you think about things like that. And that's what really kind of gets me excited is the historical stuff, you know, that have happened, you know, in various places. Like I was in Candlestick in San Francisco about a month before they tore down the stadium, and the groundskeeper there walked off from a sprinkler head the exact spot where Dwight Clark caught the catch. You know, and that's a pretty cool place to stand, you know, things like that. I mean, there's so many stadiums like that, that just have, you know, they're great to be in. They have a lot of history.
Yeah. Speaking of history and historical moments. So we'll go, let's take you back to Super Bowl 50 and the honors night. You took a photo of somebody. He was wearing a blue suit, Hall of Famer, Jim Brown. What was going through your mind when you were able to do that?
Man, I've photographed Jim Brown a couple times. I've done a couple portrait shoots with him. And it's, for me, it's, you know, I'm there to do a specific job, but at the same time, you're like, oh my God, it's one of the greatest football players of all time, you know, and he's so quiet. He's so nice. You know, he's a great human being, you know, on top of it all, but it's still, you're like, you know, like, wow, like that's Jim Brown, you know? And, I think there's not a lot of guys that really, make me nervous, but he is one of them, you know, it's just because he's such a legend, you know? You name it, I've photographed him, you know, and it's those guys like, you know, like a Jerry Rice or a Jim Brown, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, you know, those guys, like, I mean, it's like, wow, like I grew up watching, you know, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, and now I'm photographing them. Like that's, you know, pretty something special for me.
Yeah, that reminds me of speaking of Hall of Fame and Jim Brown, a story where I was at the Hall of Fame 2018. It was right before their gold dinner or gold jacket dinner. And I saw a big crowd. My dad said, hey, let's go over there and let's see what's going on. There were whispers, hey, that might be Jim Brown in the car, right? And out comes this cane. Mm-hmm. Now, I wasn't able to watch him live, of course. I know the name. Amazing, you know, in awe. But what got me was he walks out, and not just because of the applause from everybody around, but I'm watching grown men all around crying because of this person that is here and what he meant to them beyond the game of football. And I mean, that's right. Just got to be cool, like you said, to be there, but then to also capture the photos. So I got to ask you a question for my brother then. He was at the Hall of Fame with me too. Okay. And he's, well, we won't even call him an amateur photographer, but I gave him my camera to use because I was doing other things. And if you could give one tip to, we'll say amateur photographers that are trying to capture moments and stuff, what would that tip be that often they maybe forget about?
Well, I think compose your frame. You know, if you have time, look at it, look at what's in it. You know, don't rush it if you don't have to. You know, I think a lot of people, they get in that moment and they're just really quick about it. And then you get home and you're like, oh, something's weird in the background or something like that. You know, like take a second to really look through, you know, and make sure you're set and then take the picture.
Yeah, that's probably good advice for this guy right here. Because a lot of times when even on my phone, it's all blurry because I'm just doing it real quick.
And then make sure you got it too. Because a lot of times, like with a cell phone, you take the picture and there's a delay. Like from when you hit the button to when it actually takes the picture. So you might be like bringing the camera down or something when it actually takes the picture.
100% can relate and 100% have missed some great photos because of this. So I totally thank you for that suggestion, and we'll throw that out there. So that kind of ties into one of the questions I ask everybody, every guest on this show. I wish I could give it to you, but the kids borrowing it right now. I normally show you a big plastic DeLorean, okay, and I'm going to give you the keys to that virtual DeLorean right now. You can go back and point in any time in NFL history, but because you talk about this camera equipment, you can take modern day technology with you and you can capture any moment in NFL history. What moment are you capturing?
I would go, you know what? I would go back to any game that Jim Thorpe played football in, because there are no photos of Jim Thorpe, barely. So I would love to watch that man play and take
photos. I would too. So here's something I thought about, and I don't know why this came to me last night when I was kind of preparing for this. I agree. I want to have Jim Thorpe photos, and that was the guy that came in my mind too, right? There's two sides of this. We are so spoiled. I'll use that word. We're so spoiled with, you just mentioned to me, in like a minute, I can get a photo on my phone from what's happening at the Super Bowl right now.
Yep.
But at the same time, there's that allure, maybe that romanticizing. I don't know what it is, but I always go back to, and I'm trying to think of the guy's name, but there's the writer, Grantland Rice, talking about Red Grange and the Galloping Ghost, and then also talking about the Four Horsemen that we will never, ever get again because we have photos, we have videos, which I would prefer way more. But I don't know how, like you say, there's photos capture 1,000 words, but at the same time, that written word or hearing it on the radio, I mean, I don't know. This is me just rambling on. So now I'm going to tell you that, where can we find you or find any of your work, the listener of the show, and then also an open jam session for you to share any last words of wisdom with the listener of the show?
All right. You can find all of my current work on my Instagram page at Ben_Liebenberg. And you can go to NFL.com/photos to see a lot of my work. A lot of my stuff appears all over NFL.com, all of our social accounts at NFL on Twitter, Instagram. And you can also visit my website, www.BenLiebenberg.com.
There you go. Ben Liebenberg, the director of photography for the NFL. I mean, how cool was that to learn a little bit, you know, peeling back the curtain, peeking through and seeing kind of like how the NFL brings you, me, and all these crazy fans that we have and gives us these insanely detailed photos and other digital media. Again, going back to Steve Jobs, that iPhone that really did change the world. And the NFL is at the forefront, has been at the forefront for many of these things. It's the game, taking photos, man, seeing the stories on their faces, seeing all these other things. Totally different. Talking about going back to that Aaron Jones empty stadium. Nothing can replicate having fans in the stands. But again, I appreciate Ben taking time out of his day, busy day, talking about already focusing on the upcoming NFL season and the Super Bowl. That's a year-round process for planning. And I can't wait to have these fans back in the stands. I want to be one of them, having that energy of the stadium. And of course, any sport out there, but I'm a little biased because I'm mostly an NFL fan. I think it's super cool to have the fans out there cheering for their favorite team. And then when a score or big play happens, just the entire stadium erupts, explodes, and the energy that comes through is, it registered on the Richter scale in Seattle when Beastquake had that run. Beast Mode had that run, Beastquake, you know? So it's NFL fans, I'm just saying, they love their game. And they also love their films. Speaking of that, little teaser bomb, we got NFL films next week. We're going to keep the behind the scenes going a little bit. We're going to bring you Joe Zucco, NFL films producer and director, on the show for you next episode. And as a teaser trailer bomb kind of thing, I guess we could say this. He's worked on many things that you've probably heard of. Well, for instance, the NFL 100 all-time team list. Yeah, you know, where they brought in Bill Belichick and Chris Collinsworth and Rich Eisen and all the other guys together to talk about the NFL 100 all-time team. And also the Great Brady Heist. I mean, that's just a couple of the films he's been a part of. So next episode, come on back. You got to listen. You got to learn for more. But before I go, I have to remind you, we have an unbelievably awesome group of podcast hosts over on the network. I strongly urge you to check them out over at sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Sports Social Podcast Network. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.